Australian musician Lawrence English reckons that the bodily experience of music can be just as important as what you hear in your head. Lawrence is the curator of Open Frame Room 40, a showcase of electronic and experimental music at Sydney's Carriage Works all this week. And one of the featured musicians is Alessandro Cortini, a sometime member of the band Nine Inch Nails. Alessandro and Lawrence are with Kim Jirik.
Lawrence English, tell us about Room 40.
Well, Room 40 started in 2000. I'd been running another label in the 90s, and it kind of got to a point where I'd realised that that label didn't necessarily, I guess, address the kind of music that I was interested in, or at least becoming interested in. So I set it up, I guess, with three distinct parts. The first part was the publication part. So it was about, you know, CDs at that point, in the good old days when CDs had a place in everyone's heart. And we also went on to publish books and DVDs, and obviously now records and tapes. And then there was a stream which was about, I guess, making people recognise the potential of sound art within a gallery context. So work that was about sound that wasn't necessarily performative, that was about people coming into a particular space and having an engagement with their ears in a place and time. And then there was a kind of curatorial side, which was also about putting on performances and festivals. And the Open Frame Festival that we're having this week is, I guess, the result of that.
You said that you were drawn to these sounds. What drew your ear to the experimental?
You know, it's interesting. I think I appreciate being surprised in my life. And I think that this work, particularly during that time in my life, I found incredibly surprising. I wasn't sure where things would go. The kinds of structures and understandings that we have in our engagement with music, I find sometimes to be a little predictable, and I was very surprised to discover there was this whole stream of work that was about expanding the potential of how it is that we might kind of engage with music and with sound. So it really opened up a whole other world to me, discovering a lot of these artists, and I became, I guess you could say, evangelical about sharing that enthusiasm for it. And fairly much Room 40's activities, at least within Australia, have very much been about that, about bringing people to Australia so that other people can engage with the work in a sort of real-time context.
When somebody comes to a Room 40 gig or to Open Frame, is it like a regular gig, or do you want us to come with a certain mindset?
No, I think the sort of important thing to remember is this work is incredibly approachable. You know, anyone, even if you have no idea what you're going to expect, that's the beauty of, you know, when you read a great book or you see a film and you don't know where it's going to take you, there's a joy of discovery. That is what keeps the world interesting. You know, if I think, you know, if I hadn't gone into this, I probably would have gone into, you know, zoology or ornithology had I probably had better maths and science scores. But, you know, it's about that sense of discovery and recognizing where you fit into the work. So it's not so much about having a mindset, but more just coming in and being open to the potential of the experiences. And ultimately, the work is not for everyone, but there's something really valuable in having the opportunity to engage with that work. You know, it's if you've only ever eaten, you know, terrible burgers, when you have a great burger, you suddenly realize how terrible those other burgers are.
One of the highlights of this year's event is a performance by Alessandro Cortini. Alessandro, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We heard a bit of your piece, Voltaggio Solitario, just before. What instruments were we hearing on that?
The Sonno and Risveglio records were all recorded with two main instruments, or one main instrument, which is the Roland MC-202, which is an old monophonic synthesizer from the early 80s. Fairly cumbersome sequencer built in and battery-powered.
You started out as a guitarist. What brought you to playing synthesizers?
I think probably the immediacy of creativity that it was linked to synthesizers for me. By all means, it's not that I had exhausted guitar when it comes to the ability of being creative with it, but I thought I reached a wall when it came to what I was able to compose on a wider spectrum with the guitar itself. So synthesizers sort of offered me a canvas that from the get-go was new and undiscovered, and so made it much easier to get excited by a basic idea, or, you know, the first idea they would have, you know, stumble on and then elaborate it, maybe with other instruments at that point. But generally speaking, I think I just started being more satisfied with electronic instruments than guitar. And I go back and forth now, but generally speaking, I still feel like there's more creativity for me in electronic instruments as opposed to guitar.
They can be pretty intimidating, though, all the knobs and dials and wires. How did you work out what they were capable of?
Well, I think, you know, it took me several years to sort of see it that way. But once I realized that all there are is toys and all I am is basically still a child trying to play and having fun, then the regulations or whatever the structure of the machine is become secondary, to the extent that I don't let it get in the way of me being able to explore it or figure out what's happening and how it's happening. I mean, hardly, I would say rarely it happens that the instrument that I have in front of me, and I had several, it's frustrating to the point that I stop playing with it. Some of them are more appealing and I feel like I can build more of a relationship with them. But generally speaking, I do see them as a toy or something that I don't really know how to approach at the beginning. And I see that as an advantage as opposed to a disadvantage, which might look like it is, you know, to a lot of people. It's like, how can you use that? How did you learn? I actually learned by sitting in front of it and feeling very inspired by not knowing what they did. Therefore, not really being familiar with the result or what sound they made.
Alessandro, you're performing Avanti at Open Frame. Can you tell us about that?
Avanti is my latest project that debuted last year at Atonal Festival in Berlin, and it's coming out at the end of August on PS Records. And it's basically a project that started once I found an old archive on VHS of old Super 8s that my grandfather had filmed from my mom's childhood, my family's, you know, life. And there are different periods of our lives. And once I found it, after years of searching, I started basically writing music for it. And I scored my own home videos, basically. And that's what the project is. It's called Avanti, which in Italian means forward, simply because it's based a lot on things that have happened already, so stuff that is in the past. But it does feel at the end of it to me that while you still have these memories and some are good and some are bad, the only thing left to do is just to move ahead and just move forward.
They must be very personal images and evoke a lot of memories in you, but what do you hope to evoke in the minds of your audience?
Well, I do get that that note quite often, the fact that it's a little bit of a naked approach. But I don't really see it that way, in the sense that it's been proven time and time again when I perform it that I think most of the audience can connect to similar memories to the ones that I'm showing. So maybe that kid on the beach, it might not be me to them, but it's them. You know, they have a similar memory, especially if they are our generation, you know, born in the 70s or 80s and have some sort of like faded out memory of what a day at the beach used to be.
It's remarkably affecting, I have to say. Like, having sat through the concert a number of times in the last few weeks, traveling around Australia, you do find yourself being drawn into it's almost like I'm drawn into the narrative that's somehow constructed by these images mm-hmm. in there, which is extraordinary. And I will say, Alessandro has some very fetching suits.
That's the main thing. Yeah. Some incredible outfits.
Yeah. The early 80s, golden age for fashion, definitely.
Lawrence, I feel like the setting is important when experiencing this music as well. Can you tell us about Carriage Works and your decision to stage this event there?
Look, I think Carriage Works is probably the only venue of its kind in this country in terms of the scope of the curatorial focus and the determination to realise projects that are sometimes incredibly huge. Their interest in production is really critical. And for me, I see these as opportunities for really engaging your ears, for actually listening, not just, you know, with the ears attached to your head, but also sometimes thinking about this idea of the body as an ear, that there's a kind of physical engagement, a tactility that sound can have with the body. So I think the setting is important, you know, for someone like Alessandra and I, that the PA is actually one of our instruments. Mm-hmm. So the better the PA and the better the capacity for the sound to be translated to an audience, the better the performance can be. The limitations of a PA can be actually really hindering to the quality of the engagement an audience can have with the work. So that's something I'm very conscious of. I want to, with Open Frame, and in fact with all the concerts I do, I want to set up a situation where if an artist comes to perform, they're able to realise their work in the highest possible way, and then an audience can come and engage with that work as deeply as I feel we all should be engaging in music. You know, music is one of these art forms it's got a problematic history out of the 20th century. It became about commercial, the sort of exchange of commercial objects in the 50s with the idea of the single, and somehow we forgot that music's actually one of the most powerful art forms in terms of its affective capability for an audience.
I agree. Actually, if I could add to that, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do also with realizing that it's not just the entertaining aspect of music, which is what people, or so far, the mainstream musical scene tends to dedicate more time to, but and probably connected to what Lawrence was saying, it's the nutritional factor of music that I think people don't really consider. The fact that music could be curative, can be enriching from a life point of view, and not just entertaining. It's not just a record that marks, you know, your weekend.
Well, another artist appearing in Open Frame who will certainly benefit from being in that environment is Sara Davachi. Let's have a listen. A little bit of Ghosts and All by Sara Davachi, and it does transport you to another place, doesn't it, Lawrence?
Yeah, I have to say I'm a huge fan of Sara's work. I mean, I'm very, very, very pleased that she was able to come down and join the festival. It actually happened that she was a bit of a late addition. Her dates opened up and she was able to be here, so I'm very, very happy about it. I mean, she, I think, is one of a number of female composers at the moment that's just producing work that is absolutely unique and profoundly engaging. And I'm very pleased to, you know, have her and Clara Lewis, Alicia Crampton on the bill for this year. I mean, it's a great chance to kind of engage with this work, particularly for me, which this year is a very big focus, is on trying to rectify this situation that I call the sausage festival in electronic music, where, you know, there simply is a grave underrepresentation of female work and of queer work. So that's been one of our focuses curatorially this year.
And another group performing at this year's event is Shushu, the US band. They'll be performing the music of Twin Peaks. And Alessandro, just this week, you appeared in Twin Peaks performing with Nine Inch Nails.
I did.
How did you become a touring member of Nine Inch Nails?
In 2004, I saw a flyer for audition, and I went to the audition, and I got the job.
Nine Inch Nails doesn't strike me as the kind of band to put up a flyer for auditions.
Yeah, me neither, but I'm glad they were.
And you're heading out on tour with them pretty soon.
Yeah, we have a couple of festivals in the United States and for 2017, and I don't know yet what 2018 will bring, but we'll see.
Lawrence English, Alessandro Cortini, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Just the closing moments there of a piece called Passatempo, and Alessandro Cortini and the founder of Room 40, Lawrence English, was speaking there to Kim Jirik. And you can catch Open Frame Room 40 at Carriageworks in Sydney. Just head to the Books and Arts website for all the details.